on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, October 6th, 2025 edition, and welcome to the fourth quarter. First full week of the fourth quarter, and soon we'll be celebrating the holidays. I know I love that season, but let's focus on the here and now for this hour and the risks and rewards that present themselves in today's market. And my objective each hour is to give you some data and perspective that can help you become a better investor, to make better decisions consistently. Your situation is different than everybody else. So you have to fit the data and the perspective to your own situation. Your situation is different than your cousin, your brothers, your neighbors, or your coworkers, or whatever. So don't just be taking tips from them. That's kind of one of the biggest pitfalls that most people fall prey to. And it's about doing your own research. And this is hopefully part of your toolkit, the show. But it should not be the only toolkit. It should be understanding where to gather data, where to gather perspective, and how to balance it all. Positive articles, headlines, research reports, opinions, and balancing that with negative ones as well, and finding the proper mix so that you are making fully informed decisions. And so that's what we try to do on each and every episode of Invest Talk, is to keep you more informed. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hey, this is Michael from New Orleans. I'm just wondering what you think about a stock company called Elastic, E-S-T-C, Elastic, an AI company. Thanks.
Uh-oh. An AI company. I'm starting to get allergic to that word now. I know we just had the webinar on it, but hopefully your takeaway from the webinar was there are winners, but that likely will be many years down the line, the ultimate big winners from AI, and it won't be indirect winners. It will be secondary effects to AI, the AI technology. Now, what does Elastic do? It's a data analytics company engaged in the provision of open source search and analytics engine services. Interesting. I don't know what the AI angle is here. It's certainly not getting the AI boost. Relative strength is only 30. Earnings are expected to be up this year, 15%, after being up 71% last year. So growth is certainly slowing on the earnings side. Revenue growth is steady around 20%. Let me take a look here. Good balance sheet, very little net long-term debt. $300 million in free cash flow. That's about a 2.5% free cash flow yield. Not great. Return equity is negative 9%. And it's been negative mostly for the last 10 years. So that's what worries me here, is just that pretty poor profitability metrics, and the fact that they just continue to issue more and more shares each and every year. So no dividend, and they're just a serial share issuer. And I don't like those companies. I like the companies that do the opposite. They buy back shares because they have steady business, steady cash flows, steady balance sheet. And they do a little bit of reinvesting in their business. They do a little bit of buying back shares. They maybe pay a little bit of a dividend. They are smart allocators of capital. When you're constantly issuing equity and showing negative returns on equity, return on assets. And then you look at the chart, it's just making a series of lower highs and lower lows. I don't see it. I think there's much better uses of your capital than this. I would certainly pass on, what's it called? Elastic. There we go. Elastic. ESTC is the symbol. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and time permitting, we will tackle all of it. Now, our main focus point is about emerging markets. They're finally rallying. And the question is, could this be a long-term shift in global investment flows driven by a combination of a weaker dollar and cooling global inflation? We'll look at that story. We have other topics on the docket as well. And we're in the midst of a government shutdown. And that is delaying some of the economic data that usually is released. We saw that on Friday with the BLS report, and it looks like there'll be more this week that is skipped. However, there's a lot of private data and can easily give you a very good sense of what's happening in the broader economy without those government numbers. Now, that doesn't mean those government numbers aren't valuable. It just means that in the interim, you still have some data and a decent amount of data to really understand what's happening in the broader economy. So we'll look at that. We also will touch on there's a lot of new ETFs out there, especially these levered ETFs tied to individual companies. And we'll talk about the under-discussed costs of these levered ETFs, these complex ETFs. Okay, so we'll look at that. And then if we have time, where will the AI industry really trip up? Okay, we'll dig into that. That's obviously a deep topic, but hopefully we'll have time for that as well. We also have voice bank calls on how to navigate today's market and Americold Realty Trust. COLD is a symbol. And we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And most importantly, will be your live calls at 888-99-CHART. Now, as we move to a break, let me tell you about the new series that has debuted on our Invest Talk YouTube channel. It's called Invest Talk Innovators. Invest Talk Innovators. And for our latest episode, I spoke with my good friend, Anthony Katz. He's the visionary founder of HyperICE, and he's defined what it means to be an innovator and detailed how technology, including AI, is transforming the wellness industry. It's a wonderful interview, and you can catch the full interview by visiting the Invest Talk YouTube channel. Just look for Invest Talk Innovators.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
What do you think is a good price?
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
And I was wondering, from your standpoint, is there a downside in buying fractional shares versus whole shares?
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
OKE is the symbol. We like the business. I will say we've trimmed it a bit and cut it as a lower weighting.
Now, while gold is hitting these record highs, it's driven by the safe haven demand, by central bank buying across the board.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Josh in North Carolina.
This is Marlo from New York City area.
Let's go take a live call. Sam from San Jose.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk.
Great insights. Thank you.
888-99-CHART.
Claude is the AI for minds that don't stop at good enough. It's the collaborator that actually understands your entire workflow and thinks with you, not for you. Let me tell you how we use Claude. We use Claude to build widgets on our website and to build a data dashboard using data from various information sources. Claude doesn't just give us answers. It helps us think through the problem. For example, Claude found connections across 50 plus sources that we never would have spotted ourselves. With Claude AI, you can connect to your work tools and data, create custom workflows, and benefit from extended thinking mode that maintains context and understanding throughout extensive conversations. Claude is for everyone: financial services, education, AI agents, and coders. Ready to tackle bigger problems? Sign up for Claude today and get 50% off Claude Pro when you use my link, claude.ai/invest. That's claude.ai/invest right now for 50% off your first 3 months of Claude Pro. That includes access to all the features mentioned in today's episode. claude.ai/invest.
The numbers are in. InvestTalk downloads have now surpassed 61 million. And there's a simple reason. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero provide unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a quick look at the market today. And overall, it was a positive day. We had more news out of AMD and OpenAI, I believe it was. Yep. And another one of those circular financing deals that have been scrutinized as of late within the AI space. Basically, software companies or hardware infrastructure companies. There we go. AI infrastructure companies are investing in companies like NVIDIA, now AI or AMD, to go and reinvest and buy their chips, right? So it's just too circular and it's not something that is above board for the most part. And it just creates more risk within the industry. But that did give the market a boost here. And you have the S&P up about a third of 1%. NASDAQ was up 71 basis points, so a little less than 1% there. On the economic front, let me pull that up here. You didn't really get a whole lot of economic news. Partly it's the government shutdown, okay? But if you look at other asset classes, treasuries were a bit weaker. You saw the long end up about 4 to 5 basis points overall. So treasuries were weaker. Dollar index was up 0.4%. And this was on the back of the yen movement down. And that was an election of a female prime minister. The market likes her plan, at least when it comes to, I believe, fiscal spending. And so that pushed the yen down, dollar up a bit. Gold finished up 1.7%, another fresh record high, just shy of that 4,000 mark on gold. Bitcoin was up 2.2%, WTI up 1.6% on a smaller than expected increase in production out of OPEC Plus. We will get some data, mainly the minutes from the latest Fed meeting. That will be a market mover this week. But ultimately, I do think we're getting late in the game in this AI bull market. Now let's go talk to Robert from Pleasanton asking about PSIX, listing on AM 1220 in the Bay Area.
Hey, good afternoon, Justin.
Thanks for calling.
I am an owner. Yeah, I own this stock, and I've done pretty well with it. It has had a little bit of a pullback recently, and so I'm wondering what you think going forward. Should I be adding to my position or possibly getting out?
I would be getting out. So this is one of those AI plays, and I think it's increasingly obvious that the amount of money that is being spent on building out AI data centers and capacity far outstrips the revenue that is being brought in. And these companies are going to pull back on spending in a very material way, I think, over the next 12 to 18 months. And it's going to hit companies like PSIX Power Solutions. So, and even if you go based on next year's earnings of $4, you know, it's still, you know, an above market multiple. And the technicals, frankly, just reversed. You know, going from, what was this recent high? 118, it peaked. What's interesting, is this peaked at 120 back in August, pulled back and then rallied and tried to retest that high and failed once again. That is what is called a failed breakout. That is a very bearish signal. Okay. And look at today. Market's up. This is down, was down 8% on the day. So I think a lot of these names are about to have a very, very material pullback in price. And I think this is just the beginning. I had a similar name in my personal account, very, very, very high risk that I was up like 200% on. I sold it today because I'm starting to see a lot of these names top out. And I'm very wary of adding a ton of new capital, especially these smaller names that are just, their entire business is predicated on AI. And so an AI CapEx spend. So I'm certainly selling PSIX. Thanks for the call. Now we're moving into a break still to come. My focus point and more answers to your questions at 888-99-CHART.
Millions of downloads have proved there's value in every Invest Talk podcast. Call anytime, 24/7, Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. We're going to talk to Paul in Dallas. He wants to talk about gold and more particularly the mutual fund, Sprott Gold Equity Investor, SGDLX. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I do own it. I got in February. You know, I've been listening to your show for some time, and I wanted to get some exposure, but not only to the actual gold, but to the miners as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's 17% in actual gold, and the rest is spread out across different miners. And my question for you is, at what point do I think about trimming that because it's gone up quite a bit?
Well, what percentage of your overall portfolio is that fund or your gold exposure?
Right now it's at 7%.
7%. Okay. I think that's plenty fine. We have double that, if not more. I mean, we're pushing on 20% of our more aggressive portfolios. You know, it also depends on how risky you want to be. Are you aggressive, moderate, conservative? How would you describe yourself as an investor?
I would definitely say that I'm aggressive, but okay. I'm 58 years old, so I probably don't want to be aggressive for too much longer.
Fair.
And what I was thinking about doing is kind of watching to see when gold stops climbing and if it starts dipping down, you know, 2 weeks in a row or something, is that a signal that it's weakening? Or how do you, I'm not really good at measuring when gold will go up and down.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you want a target for your allocation to gold. I see 7% seems actually kind of low to me. And I'm longer term bullish on gold. I just see the debasement that's happening both domestically and abroad. And then you have geopolitical concerns that continue to escalate both abroad and domestically. So really gold is the outlet here. Everyone's talking about, oh, there's going to be this new BRICS currency and all that. Well, the alternative to the dollar is simply gold. There's not an alternative to the dollar. Yep. That's what's becoming not just here in the United States, but really worldwide. It's becoming the alternative to the US dollar. So those outside this country are looking at the issues that we have, both fiscally as well as politically, and they're looking to diversify their exposure. They no longer see the U.S. Treasury as the safe haven. It's no longer anymore. And so money continues to flow out of the United States and into harder assets like gold. So Could there be a pullback? We're approaching 4,000 on gold. And could that be a shorter term marker for a pullback, maybe back into the mid 30,000, something like that. I think that's certainly possible. But as long as geopolitical tensions are increasing and our fiscal situation continues to get more dire, gold is likely to head higher. So 7% allocation, I think, is too low.
Believe in the miners?
Yeah, I do. Because they're starting to re-rate higher, and the market's starting to realize that it's no longer this environment where you had gold range bound, and when gold rallied a little bit, their margins were pretty good and they made decent money, and then gold pulled back and back to close to the cost of production, because cost of production on average within the industry is somewhere around $2,000 an ounce. And right. You know, a few years ago, gold was kind of bouncing between $2,000 and $2,500, kind of in that range where it just didn't make a lot of sense to bet on increased cash flow from these companies. And now their margins are just massive and likely to continue to stay at least at these levels or go higher. And so they're re-rating higher, and the market's starting to realize that, you know, whatever they're making today, they could make double that in 2 years, 3 years, right? So they're starting to become growth vehicles, growth companies, and they're starting to be valued accordingly, especially the allocation to gold by the average investor is extremely low, extremely low. And then if you look at allocations from your average advisor, is also extremely low, because if you backtest outside the last year, the returns from gold and gold miners, you know, you've just seen better returns from tech, for example. And so now portfolios are over allocated to tech, and they're under allocated to things like gold. And so I think there's still a catch up trade to be made here, and there's still a lot of buyers on any pullback. So I would not be selling. You, even if you get a pullback from here into the mid 3000s, I think a 7% allocation is still too low. I would be looking to add, maybe not to this fund itself. I would probably use individual miners or an ETF rather than this fund, because I think this fund's just okay. So that's the way I would be looking to play the gold market. Thanks for the call. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this story. Recession by zip code. Why 22 states are already feeling the downturn. We'll explore the reasons for regional disparities and what they could mean for you. That story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein, and I'm ready to take your calls now on 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk Innovators. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero interview company leaders, founders, and visionaries. So head over to the Invest Talk YouTube channel and look for Invest Talk Innovators. Justin Klein is here now and ready to answer your finance and investment questions. Call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take another live call. Jane from the Bay Area, listening on AM 1220, looking at Organon or Pfizer. Do you own, looking for one of these to buy?
Well, I own them. Okay. And thank you for taking my call, Justin, of by course. The way. I'm thinking of tax harvesting.
Okay.
And I lost money on these two. I have about 1,500 shares each, and I guess I lost about 21,000 or so for OGN, and about 10,000 Pfizer. And I'm thinking of selling one of these for tax harvesting at the end of the year. Which one would you recommend to get rid of?
This is a very easy decision. It's going to be Organon. The reason why you lost so much money on it is, my guess is you were looking at that dividend, 5.5% or whatever. It was probably paying a nice dividend, right?
Well, yeah. And this was given, you know, I didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Who bought it for you?
It was, well, what was it? Was it General Electric when they split? yeah, they gave these OGN shares. So it was just given to me one of those previous companies.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so the reason that this has gone down so much is because of the debt. And it was paying a 5.5% dividend. So this is a lesson for everyone else out there. You got to focus on what these companies are, especially when you get a spinoff. A lot of times these spinoffs, they kind of throw a lot of debt on these spinoffs. You know, they this one is focused on women's health and you know, they just want to package this into a niche player or whatever. And they threw a bunch of debt on it. And it's really been sinking them.
Okay.
Because even though they're earning profits, their cash flow is almost entirely going to pay down that debt. And they actually cut their dividend recently from, it was a 5.5% yield. Now it's going to be less than 1%. And they have about, let's see, over $8 billion in long-term debt on its balance sheet and only about $537 million in free cash flow. So they're having trouble really carrying this debt. Obviously, interest rates are higher, so refinancing this debt becomes more difficult. And they're only earning about 2.5 times interest earned. So they're just, so much money is just going towards paying that debt and supporting it. And probably this is a name that eventually, frankly, goes bankrupt. So I think it's worthwhile to just sell it. If you want to take a tax loss, this would be the name. Now, I don't love Pfizer either, but at least it's getting some near-term tailwinds from some drug price agreements with President Trump and that administration, and that could support drug prices a little bit. And they do have some debt, but not so much that it's burying them. So OGN is definitely the one you'd want to sell.
Would I get rid of entire 1,500 shares? Is it?
It depends on, you know, how much losses you need, right? Are you offsetting gains? You know, this is something we do for clients at the end of the year is we analyze these things and say, okay, how much gains do you have? What are the losses? And try to offset. Sometimes clients want up to 3,000. You can take up to 3,000 in losses and offset other income as well. So, you know, this is a question that you probably, do you have an advisor or are you just doing this all yourself?
I'm doing it by myself with a little help of, advisor.
Got it. Okay. Well, if your advisor should be helping you on this. You know, this is what we help our clients with. If you, you know, want to discuss this in more detail, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a portfolio review, and we can kind of go over this and much, much more on that call. Thanks for the call, Jane.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Yeah, these are things that we talk about all the time on those portfolio reviews. Now, my main focus point today concerns this headline. Emerging markets are finally rallying. And let's talk about why that might be. Now, the incoming Trump administration is shaking up the international trading system. That's obvious. And the worry was that it would disproportionately hurt emerging markets like China. But if you go look at the performance of the assets in emerging markets this year, it's done anything but. Now, from 2010 to 2024, 14 years, the emerging market MSCI index was up 8.7%. That's it. Total, not annualized, total. The MSCI World Index was up more than 200% during that time. So it drastically underperformed for nearly a decade and a half. But this year, the first three quarters, was the best year for emerging markets since 2010. Equally weighted basket of emerging market currencies are up 12.7% against the dollar year to date. And equities, you think stocks here are doing well? S&P's up around 14% on the year. Emerging market equities are up 24% on the year, trouncing domestic equities. Another question is, why is this happening and can the trend continue? First is the weakness in the dollar. That's anytime the dollar is weak, you typically get an outperformance in foreign markets, especially emerging markets. And with our current account balance the way it is, our deficit the way it is, it's likely the dollar will continue to weaken. And this improves the current account balance of these developing economies and reduces their liabilities, because typically their liabilities are denominated in dollars. When their currencies rise, their revenues in dollar terms rise as well. It makes it easier to pay back those dollar loans. So that's why a weak dollar is typically good for foreign markets, especially emerging markets. And the number two is money is simply leaving the United States. Not in droves, not overnight, but slowly, steadily. Foreign investors are looking for alternative places to put their money. That's why gold continues to go up. And that's why these foreign equities continue to rise. They're looking to diversify away from U.S. exposure. A, because of the dollar. And B, because of the political problems in the United States. It's clear that we are seeing increasing political strife domestically. And everyone else sees that. And the fact that we're becoming more isolationist, it means that the rest of the world doesn't see us in the same light, that we are direct allies, as much at least as we used to be, right? It's a more murky picture. So it's not obvious that the United States is the cleanest dirty shirt. It no longer is seen that way. Depends on who's looking at it, but that's the reality of the situation. And then you have the fact that a lot of the companies in those foreign markets own real assets, real commodities, precious metals, industrial metals, real estate. And that also helps diversify portfolios out of the highly tech-concentrated U.S. indices. And then lastly, their policies. The IMF Fiscal Monitor shows that a large majority of emerging market economies have been tightening fiscal policy since 2024. And that's part of the reason why the dollar has weakened compared to those. And this has allowed emerging markets to have a steadier balance sheet. And their economies are starting to outperform ours. So a big reason our economy was doing so well coming out of the pandemic was because our fiscal response was so dramatic, much more dramatic than the rest of the world. But that's wearing off in a big, big way. So in a world where U.S. exceptionalism is now being challenged, you are seeing flows head abroad. And if that continues, it's going to be a virtuous cycle, because just as investors are underexposed to gold, for example, they're also extremely underexposed to foreign markets as well. So I think there's a lot of room left for a rally in both emerging markets and foreign markets more broadly. Now, every day we receive questions from the comments section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel. And here's one that came in earlier. SSJ Baller says, Justin, can I get your thoughts on COMM, CommScope Holdings? Any good entry or stay away? Appreciate this channel. Take a look at COMM, CommScope. Design, manufacture, install, and support hardware, infrastructure, and software solutions. Let's see this one. Did this get bought out? I'm just looking at the chart, and it rallied and then just stopped. $3.4 billion market cap. They were losing money last year and the year before. It was supposed to make $1.22 this year and $1.44 next year. Ah, yes. Looks like they're getting bought out by Amphenol. I'm trying to find why this jumped. Raymond James upgraded them to outperform. I mean, it's a little overbought. Maybe they didn't get bought out. So $15 stock. Yeah, so this is another one of those infrastructure data center solution companies. I wouldn't be buying into this. You know, it's benefiting from the recent AI bump, but they have a lot of debt. And they're a serial issuer of shares. Yeah, this is actually something I'd probably short after this move. So I'm passing on CommScope. Great that it got upgraded. Great that it's getting all these AI tailwinds. But like I said, I think we were very close to inflection point in the AI trade. It's becoming increasingly obvious that the amount of money that's being spent will not translate into positive cash flow. It's just cash burn. And there's a ton of narrative behind it, but that's it. Not a whole lot of beef there. Now let's keep things going and drop in another listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi guys, got a quick question. The market seems to be hitting new highs almost every day for the past few weeks. Just keeps going up and up. A lot of the economic data seems to be contradicting what the market should be doing. I'm wondering, why is that happening and how should we navigate a scenario such as this? Thanks for the answer. Appreciate your help. Bye.
I love, love, love this question because so many people overemphasize what's going on in the economy as what's happening in the market. And they also overemphasize headlines because what is far more important to the market is liquidity. Is liquidity getting better or is it getting worse? And liquidity is mainly driven by two things. Bank lending is probably the most important because that's where most money is created, takes lending into the economy. And then government spending. Is the deficit rising or falling? Because if the government is creating more dollars and putting more dollars out in the system than that, then they are taking back in. Now they take that back in by borrowing money, for example. So if they're spending more than they tax, and tariffs are a tax, for example. But currently, that situation is not, it's neutral, shall we say. But banks continue to lend. Lending growth is at about 5%. And so now, can there be economic news that starts to disincentivize banks from lending? Sure. But you're not seeing that in a drastic way right now. Pretty minor. And so the economy continues to do okay. Do good enough to keep earnings rising. And overall, that liquidity picture is just fine. Now, once again, we're probably hitting an inflection point in the next 6 to 9 months, but for right now, that's why asset prices keep going up. Now we're heading to our final break. Give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Luke. This is Frank from Los Angeles, longtime listener of the show. Thanks for all you guys do. Today, I was looking at Americold Realty Trust, ticker symbol COLD. I was wondering, why does it trade at such a deep discount compared to other industrial REITs? I know the company is struggling with oversupply, excess capacity, but do you guys think this is enough to justify such a low price to FFO? Curious about what you guys think, and I'll be listening on the show. Thank you very much.
This is another example, and I say this all the time, but it is probably the number one mistake the average investor makes, is they focus just on earnings per share, or in this case, when it comes to a REIT, it's funds from operation, but kind of same thing. And it is debt. And REITs are actually a lot more susceptible to this than the average company. Why is that? Because REITs are pass-through entities, and they have to pass through 90% of their income to shareholders in the form of dividend. So what happens is their dividend looks great. Dividend yield currently is 6.8%. And a lot of people are going to say, that sounds great. It's paying that. It's continuing to pay that. And so, and then you look at funds from operation, $1.41 this year expected. That's down 1% from $1.47 next year, but to $13.44 price. That's a pretty low multiple. And that's why you say it's trading at a discount. The problem is that, as you said, there's overcapacity within the industry. Margins are being squeezed. And overall, their expected future profitability is weaker. And they don't have the ability to take that cash flow and pay down their debt in a material way. A little bit, but not in a material way. And so if you, for example, you go and take out debt on an asset that is depreciating in value versus most real estate appreciates in value, you suddenly have a problem. Now, what does Americold do? It's a REIT, and they own, operate, develop, and acquire temperature-controlled warehouses. So if there's oversupply of temperature-controlled warehouses, think perishable and frozen foods, then their margins are going to get squeezed. And their inability to pay back that debt becomes a big problem. And that's what you are seeing right here. That this could be a bankruptcy candidate. Now, I'm not intimately familiar with the temperature-controlled warehouse business, but clearly it's deteriorating. And so to me, this is more of a value trap than an opportunity. Now, let's squeeze in another question now.
I have a question about Eastman Chemical Company, EMN. Was wondering if this is a good entry. Looking forward to hearing your answer. Thank you so much for what you guys do. Have a great day.
All right. Looking at Eastman Chemical, EMN is the symbol. And this is the name that's been around for a long time, specialty chemical producer. And they do have a decent amount of debt. That's probably the biggest worry here, about $5 billion in net debt and a $7 billion market cap. And cash flow has been on the decline. Peaked out in 2020 at $1.3 billion, now down to $400 million, well below the 2017 low. But it's still very profitable, 14% return on equity, 5% dividend yield. And then if I look at the chart, it's up here, it's definitely in a downtrend, but it is near some long-term support. So I do like that. And I do think there's an argument here that it can deal with this debt, because it has been working on paying that down, deleveraging the balance sheet. So it's high risk. Understand that. Don't think that dividend is safe. Don't buy it because it has a 5% dividend. Buy it because it can stabilize its cash flow and pay down that debt, and then go back to maybe buying back shares and growing its dividend once again. So I do think they will probably cut that dividend. So I'm going to give Eastman a modest thumbs up, but know that it's very high risk. Well, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk show. And if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your overall investments, your Roth conversion plan, your Social Security strategy, whatever it is, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button, and schedule a time with myself or Luke. And thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify. And please be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. It's Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.